as we think about this chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 1 that Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. I want us to think a little bit about Sarah, so let's start with Sarah's story. She married no children. Bible scholars estimate that Abraham at this age in 16, in chapter 16 of the book of Genesis, is 85 years old. The same Bible scholars say that Sarah in Genesis 16 is 75 years old. They had been promised an heir. They had been promised a male offspring. They'd been promised seed that would multiply. But did you notice what verse 1 says? At the age of 85, the dad, and at age of 50 or 75, the wife, who wanted to be a mother, bare him no children. In their day, in their culture, for a wife not to bear, not to birth children was considered a curse. The name Sarah means princess. Bible scholars tell us that Sarah was drop-dead gorgeous. One of the top five beautiful, most beautiful women in all the Bible. How they know that, I don't know. I'm just telling you what they say. She was a knockout. Beautiful. Sarah. She was promised children. But at the age of 75, she's barren. I'm sure, like most anybody that was promised children or desired children, I'm sure that Sarah had doubts that flooded her mind every day. No doubt her days might have been filled with guilt. Maybe self-condemnation. I mean, as a matter of fact, how optimistic can someone... Can a woman be at 75 years of age be to have a child? For 10 years that we know of, she's been waiting. For 10 years that we know of, she's been trying. For 10 years that we know of, she's been praying. So no doubt she became impatient. Who wouldn't? No doubt she cried out, God, you promised. No doubt she cried out, Lord, I promise we'll be good parents. No doubt she cried out, where are you, Lord? Verse 1 tells us, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Can I just ask you, church, is there anything worse than waiting? You go to a fast food place, and the only ones in a hurry is me. You gotta wait and wait and wait. You take the express grocery line, and you wait, and the guy in front of you, you're only supposed to have 9 items, and he has 19. You have nothing else but time to count. Like, he's not supposed to be there. Waiting. We understand waiting. You go for a 10-minute oil change, it takes forever. Verse 1 reminds us, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She's 75. In his book, The Light Within You, author J. Claiborne talks about his daughter who has leukemia. One night in the hospital, little girl said, Daddy, will my pain ever go away? And the dad said, Honey, we're doing everything we can. The little girl said, Daddy, have you asked God when my pain will go away? And so the author writes in the book, I didn't know what to tell her. What do you say to your daughter that asks you that question? What do you say when it seems like God's not listening? What do you say when it seems like heaven's silent? Sarah's 75 years old. For 10 years she's been promised a son. For 10 years has gone unfulfilled. She seems like God must be a million miles away. It's silent. No one's answering. Can I remind you what we just heard in the song? God is never early. God's never in a hurry. God's never late. He's always right on time.
Amen.
I don't know who needs that today, but somebody needs it. Mm-hmm. 4-year-old is traveling with his parents. Are we there yet? Over and over, are we there yet? Finally, the mom had it like all moms have it when they got 4-year-olds that ask that question. We're 90 miles away, so don't ask me again. I'll tell you when we get there. Just a few minutes past. Don't get ahead of me, Stephen. Mom, will I still be 4 years old when we get there? Aren't you glad that the promise keeper, when he makes a promise, it might not be on our timetable. It might not be when we want it. But you can mark it down. You can put it in the book. You can make sure that you can bank on it. That if he promised you, it's going to happen. That's the God you serve. That's the God I serve. That's the God we serve. That's Sarah's story. But Sarah does what many of us have done. Sarah goes from her story to coming up with Sarah's solution. Let's finish that verse in verse 1, chapter 16, Genesis. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. 10 years is a long time. It's really a long time when you're 75 years of age and you want to be a first-time mother. She thinks like what we would think. Hey, I'm no spring chicken. The clock is ticking. Sarah is frustrated. We can get that. She's tired of waiting. So she just decides, I will assist God. She just says, I will help God out. Look at verse 2. And Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. That's a lie. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. Not only does Sarah make a foolish decision, but now she becomes a blame shifter. And of all people to blame, she puts the blame directly up on God. She blames God. Sarah got tired of waiting. Sarah got tired of the stigma of not having children. So Sarah does what many people do. I'll just help the situation. I'll do something about it. And she foregoes God's promise. And she does her own thing. So she goes to Abraham, her husband, 85 years old. I pray thee, go into my handmaid, that I may obtain a child by her. She's frustrated. She's barren. She comes up with an immoral scheme. Gives her husband, don't miss it, gives her husband permission to father a child by another woman. Hey, we have Bible soap opera right here in Genesis chapter 16. Yes, ma'am. Now, my wife's not in here right now. She's got nursery duty. But I can't imagine. Don't get ahead of me, Miranda. I cannot imagine my wife coming with that same kind of solution. I'm not saying that Sarah came up with. We read these stories. We study these stories. We teach these stories. We preach these stories. We meditate on these stories. We go, what were they what thinking? Sometimes wives say things, but they mean something else. Wife says yes, and she really means no. A wife says, do what you want. She really means, you'll pay for it later. A wife will say, it's your decision. She really means you'll be sorry, is what she really means. The Bible says that Sarah gives her husband Abram the green light to be intimate, to make a baby with Hagar, the handmaid, and they could build a family that God promised them. What a terrible idea. What a terrible solution. What a terrible fix she's going to find herself in. And in verse 4, it says, and he went into Hagar and she conceived. Sarah's frustrated. She catches Abraham when he comes in from work. And she says, honey, you hear me out. Abraham said, yes, dear. Whatever you say, dear. Is that her tent over there? Now, whoever said the Bible was boring hadn't read the Bible. Amen. They said. And Hagar conceives a baby. Is going to be born. Abraham's going to have a male offspring. It couldn't have worked out any better. Are you kidding me? In verse 4, when she, Hagar, saw that she had conceived, Hagar, the handmaid, she thinks, I'm with child. And Sarah's not. I'm a mother and Sarah's not. I'm the one that deserves to be treated like the queen around here and not a slave before it went to her head. All Hades breaks loose in the Abraham, Sarah, Hagar family. Spousal rivalry, plural marriages, Sarah behaves badly. She begins to throw some fits and tantrums. It's not pretty. Wouldn't it just be better to realize that God's always on time? God's never late. God might be 4 days late, but he's always on time than to go through what we see happens. When we get in the way, we try to help God out. So Sarah's story, Sarah's solution. And then we have Sarah's sarcasm. Not going to have you turn to it, but in chapter 18, the book of Genesis, God is having a conversation with Abraham, and God promises him again that Sarah's going to conceive, and Sarah's listening at the tent door and says, over there in chapter 18, she hears it. And the Bible says, I hear her laugh. She laughs. She hears it, goes, and it, she just kind of laughs about it. And the very promise that I read about in Hebrews is, this is the very promise that God made time and time again, and made it again in chapter 18. And then God tells Abraham, Sarah's going to have the promised son. And she laughs. Who wouldn't laugh? But now she's 90 years old. She's worn out. I'm way too old for that, she's thinking. Logically, it's unthinkable. 90 years old, 100-year-old father. And I love what the Bible says, because the Bible gives you details. It really breaks it down, and it talks about how old and how well-stricken in age, and how it ceased to be with Sarah. The Bible wants to make it clear that it had nothing to do with a male and a female. It had nothing to do with age. It had nothing to do with the biological of each of those two people. God just wants you to know that if He says it, it don't matter what we think, it's logical or not logical, if it's possible or not possible, if it can happen or if it can't happen. God just wants us to know, and He put the details in here for us to let us know that, look, He's never late. He's always on time. He always keeps His promise. That's what God's trying to get through to us through this wonderful story. It's logically unthinkable. It's physically unattainable. As a matter of fact, back there in Hebrews 11, it goes into quite detail. It talks about Abraham, that he's at 100. He's as good as dead as far as conceiving a son physically, humanly speaking. It was referring to Abraham's reproduction system. But see, God don't look at that. God makes a promise, and God fulfills a promise that we know He will. So the ability to produce seed at 100, according to the scripture we have in Hebrews, logically unthinkable, physically impossible. Hebrews verse 12, God goes a step farther. Not only, Abraham, are you going to bear a son through your 90-year-old wife, but He goes a step further. He said, man, as many as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Man, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a nation. I mean, think about that. Put your arms around that if you're Abraham and Sarah. Put your arms around that promise. It's a promise. It's a story. All based on faith. Faith is contrary to logic. Faith is contrary to reason. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Genesis 18, God tells Abraham, Sarah hears and laughs. She gets busted, and God asks Abraham, why was Sarah laughing over there? And then verse 14, one of the great verses in all the Bible, it says, why is Sarah laughing? And Abraham said, well, it's her age. And God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I love the verse. And we got story after story just like this. Story after story, narrative after narrative, drama after drama that happens in Scripture, throughout the Scripture, that verse, like, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So that in 2023, whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, whatever we're going through, our backs are against the wall, we're holding to the rope, and it's slipping. Hey, we're about to go underwater. We don't know where we're going to turn. And then we simply think, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then we can have some hope. And we can have a little bit more faith. And when we have that substance of faith that we get, then we can simply tap into that. And we tap into our small measure of faith that God gives all of us upon salvation. We can tap into His impossible faith and see great and mighty things, not because we did it, but because we had this much faith. And we tapped into this much faith. And then God opened it up for great things. You see, the bottom takeaway is that when God makes a promise, He's the 100% all time, every time promise keeper. Let me close. Here we go. Well, I've known lots of people in my life. In the ministry, you meet lots of people. You hear lots of stories. You hear the life story. You hear about victories they've had, mess-ups they've had. And some of the people I've known who just couldn't wait on the Lord. And so they took matters in their own hands. I'm not going to wait for Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. I'll just settle. I'm just getting married. And then it is not ready. It's because we fail to do that. I was thinking that while I was sitting out there and talking about my nephew Ronnie, who married Caitlin yesterday. Our first revival when I searched Bradley. Miss Linda Mitchell, I invited our pastor, Brother Neil Proctor, to come here. We gave the invitation. And my niece today, who marries last night, was here with her boyfriend, which was my nephew. And during that invitation, she was one of eight people, adults, that came forward to accept Christ as her Savior.
Amen.
That's the guy my nephew married last night. That's the guy who's waited 6 years to marry. How many people don't want to wait on the Lord? So I've known people that did that. I've known people like you have that didn't like rules and didn't like regulations and didn't like this and that, and they didn't like waiting, and they was always in a hurry. So what did? They just go join the military. That's what they do. Not waiting. And I'm here to tell you, Sarah was just a normal person. When you read her story, it's just normal. We get it. We can understand it, except that last part where she wanted to help God out. So I want to ask you a question. We'll close. Not sure what your need might be today. Not sure what your struggle may be today. But this story this morning proves one thing. There's no promise that God loves you. There's no prayer that God will answer. And there's no problem that God can solve. We might think of it. We might believe it. But God can do what God did here. He can do what you need, what I need. You see, God wants one thing. He wants us to be in His will.
That's right.
Number two, He wants us to be in His will because it's His will's the best for us. And then God wants the best for us. Now, we have choices, like Sarah and Abraham. But that's what God wants. God's never in a hurry. God hasn't forgotten us. It just might not be His time yet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The promise keeper loves you. He wants the best for you. You're struggling with something. If you're up to here waiting, if you're a little impatient, just be patient. Pray for patience. Pray that God will give you patience and you'll understand He's long-suffering. He's a God of goodness and a good God of grace. He wants the best for us. Sarah, Abraham finally had that boy, Isaac. What an amazing story that way. But if God spoke into your heart, you need to make a decision for Him. Today would be a good day to do it. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the book of Genesis. Thank you, Lord, for the foundational principle truths that we get from this wonderful book of beginnings. Heavenly Father, I pray that whatever's been said today that your sweet Holy Spirit nudge, pull, charge on the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. If I, they need to make a decision. They don't need to confess anything to me. They don't need to publicly confess anything to our church. But Lord, if you've spoken to them, then they quite still voice. And they need to make a decision. But Lord, if you would give them the will to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.